want to tell you some good news. Now, we've already seen some good news from our new pastors coming and everything, but there is a lot of good news that I don't know if everybody's aware of. Things are happening on this mountain. And, you know, and I like to go to a lot of different ladies' groups. I like to go to different meetings with different churches. And that does not mean I'm forsaking my home at Destiny Church. No, I like to go because it refreshes me for one thing. And for another thing, God always speaks to me. He always tells me. And it's something that he started me doing a few years ago because I ask him, Lord, I want to know what your heartbeat is on this mountain. And so he began to show me, well, go here and go here, and you're going to start seeing what my heartbeat is across this mountain. Now, it has been amazing. I think I've been doing this for about 2.5, 3 years now. And so many times I get ministered to. And you know, there's nothing wrong with going somewhere else when we're not having service. That's the key there. Everybody get that? When we're having service, let's be family and let's be home. But other times, it's great to go fellowship with the rest of the body of Christ. It's really great. And I just want to share some good news, some things that are happening right now. Because I am saying this by the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm asking for those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. There is about to be a massive, massive revival on this mountain. Pastors David and Morgan are so excited. That was one of the things that the Lord spoke to both of them individually before they got together and discussed this. There is so much happening. Everywhere I go, people are asking me, what is going on? What is going on? It's like everything is just like an earthquake that's just not happening. It's just shaking everything. I'm hearing in different churches, different denominations, everywhere on this mountain, things are happening. Things are happening. I heard a lady's testimony yesterday, and she was telling that just this past weekend, she got a touch from God that changed her life forever. And this was a Christian woman, very influential in the community, very dedicated to what God has put in her heart to do. But she was in a worship service, and she was worshiping, and in the song it says, I am free, I am free. And she was just enjoying that, and she's singing, I'm free, I'm free. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, no, you're not. And she's like, whoa. You know, that makes you want to say, I rebuke you, devil. But she said, so I kept singing, I'm free, I'm free. And she has her hands lifted, and she's worshiping God, and she hears it again. No, you're not. So she just stops where she's at in the worship, and she's like, God, are you talking to me? Are you telling me I'm not free when I really think I am? And he said, yes. Well, I've done all these things. I live for you. I'm serving your kingdom. What could there be that I'm not free? And she said, all at once, she smelled, and this is not to anyone's offense, okay? I'm just sharing a testimony. She smelled cigarette come off her clothes. And she's like, oh, no. You're right, God. I'm still in bondage to that. Oh, she hit the altar. I mean, she didn't wait for altar call. She didn't wait for the worship service to end. She hit the altar because she wanted freedom. When she hit that altar, God met her there. And what she prayed was, God, I believe you can deliver me and set me free of this, but I need you to take away all the desire and all the withdrawals. God touched her. Every bit of it's gone. Miraculously gone. Do you know there are people sitting in this house today that has happened to? The cigarettes were taken away. Now, what if you don't have a problem with cigarettes? I never cared for them. I thought they, no offense, stunk. But I lived with both parents who smoked constantly. But what about people with alcohol problems? People with drug problems? Hey, God is working. I have heard so many testimonies. I mean, little churches, big churches, people are coming up to me and they're like, you're just not going to believe what's been happening. Let me tell you what happened in our service last week. And I'm talking all denominations here. God is moving and shaking this mountain. That is the good news. He is moving and shaking this mountain. Some of you know Sequoia Caverns down in the valley, just the foot of the mountain. Okay? There was a worship service held in that cavern. A very awesome worship service held in that cavern. You think, you know, it's no wonder why the mountain is shaking. This mountain is shaking because God is working from the foundation to the top. Revival is about to hit this place. Well, good news is, I've been hearing people getting set free from a lot of demonic oppression. And you know, I'm a Christian. I don't have demons. Well, you may not. That's your opinion. But sometimes we have the oppression that comes from that stinking enemy devil. You know, that causes us to try to go into depression or causes us to feel defeated and overcome. God is setting people free. I mean, so free. Miraculous things are happening. Healings are happening. Healings. 9-year-old little boy, a friend of ours, was diagnosed with Rocky Mountain spotted fever. They said he will not make it through the night. Everybody started praying. I mean, we spread it across this mountain. And everybody was praying in agreement for a miracle. That little boy went home last week with no neurological damage, because when he made it through the night, you know how the story goes. You make it through that, well, they'll not be right. There'll be damage to the brain and damage to the body. No way. He went home to play with his little brother. No damage. God is moving, you guys. He is moving in such a mighty, mighty way. So many things happening. People getting filled with the Spirit. Oh, wow. It's amazing. God is going after people. His Holy Spirit is chasing people. He's such a love that God has for his people that he wants to bless us with that whole baptism of the Holy Spirit, that filling of the Holy Spirit. He wants so much for us to have that because he knows what's coming. He knows we're going to need that power. We're going to need that strength. We're going to need that Holy Ghost wisdom and leading and guidance. These things are happening on this mountain. That's why I stay so excited, because I get out and I see what God is doing. I don't just stay in a closet somewhere. And besides that, you all know I love to talk to people. And I love to share Jesus with people. So I do. I get out and I wait and I look and I listen to people as they start sharing these testimonies of how God has just overwhelmed them, how he has overcome them with his goodness. It happened to me this morning. I'm just standing up here. And a note was delivered to me from someone outside of here. And all I could say was, Jesus. And I just started weeping. The goodness of God, overwhelming. He has so much for each of us, so much. Now that's the good news. That is the good news. So, I want to tell you about this one particular woman and how the good news came to her. And this is something that the Lord showed me a couple of nights ago. And when he showed me, I broke. Because I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. So we're going to let the Holy Spirit tell this story. Okay? In John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, and we're just going to look at the reference. We're not going to go through all the verses. In this story, Jesus had been to the Mount of Olives, and he came back to the temple to teach the people. And I thought it was really neat because he said, all the people came to him. And I'm thinking, all the people? Wow, that's a lot of people. But people were there listening to Jesus teach. Now, as he's teaching, and you know, sometimes we teachers get to going and we really don't want to be interrupted, whether it's in school or at church, you know, we get on a roll there and we're like, okay, now don't stop the flow here. Let's keep going. But Jesus was interrupted because the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman who had been taken in adultery. And I'm thinking, she was in adultery. These guys went in and took her. I have lots of questions. As a woman, I have a lot of questions about that. For one, how did you know that was going on? And two, where's the man? You know? Hey, let's be fair about this. But those are my questions. In those days, women who were caught in those kind of acts were considered the bad guy. And the man was, he got away with it. But not really, because God knows the truth. But they brought this woman to him, and they set her right in front of all those people. And you know, I have lots of issues with this story. I'm like, I should have been there. I'd have been up there beside her. Now listen here. But no, this is Jesus' story, not Renee's. But in this story, she's brought in, she's set in front of them, and I notice she says nothing. She says nothing. And of course, the scribes and Pharisees did this because they're trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to get him to say something that would incriminate him, and they could have him put away in jail or crucified or whatever. So they're trying to trick him. And so they come to him and they say, Master, in the law of Moses, it says women who are caught in adultery are to be stoned. Now, stoning was the capital punishment, one of the capital punishments of that day. So what they would do was they would place the so-called criminal out in public, and people would come with their rocks, their stones. Like we have scattered throughout the sanctuary this morning. There are rocks and stones everywhere in the sanctuary. And people would take those stones and throw them as hard as they could, just as hard as they could, at the person who had been judged guilty until it killed them. Now, that's a pretty cruel capital punishment. But that was what happened in their day. So the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus, what do you say about this? And I love, love, love the way the Lord works. Do you know what he did? It says he stooped down to the ground like he didn't even hear them and started writing on the ground. He's just very quiet. The woman is quiet. Jesus is stooped down. And he's writing on the ground. Well, all the time he's doing this, the scribes and Pharisees are still badgering him about it. What do you say? What do you say about this? What do we do here? What's going on here? What do we do here? And Jesus then stands up, looks at them, and he says those famous words, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." Now that is a very powerful statement and very deep. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that in just a minute. And you know that had to have shut that crowd down, because they had to have gone quiet then. And after he says that, he stoops back down on the ground, starts writing on the ground. Just writing. I would love to have been there to have seen what he was writing. I would love to have seen it. I've heard some people teach that he was writing down the sins of all those people who were standing there. I've heard that taught. That's pretty good teaching right there. And I've heard it said he was talking about this or writing about this and that and the other. But I asked the Lord to show me some things about this, because he's really been dealing with me strongly about judging people. Because I will admit, I fall into that. And I do not mean to, and I always get so angry at myself when I do. But as he's writing that second time, there's activity going on with the crowd. They're not saying anything, but from the oldest to the youngest, they started backing out of there. They were getting out. What did they see him write? I don't know. But they heard something, because the word says they were convicted by their own conscience. They were convicted. So they started backing out until they were all gone. And when they were gone, Jesus stood up again and he said, "Woman, where are your accusers? Are there none of them left?" And the woman just looks at him and finally says something. She's like, "No, there are none." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, as I was praying about this, I began to see some things, excuse me, that I spent several hours repenting over. Because I began to put myself in that woman's place. She was guilty. She didn't deny that. She knew she had no defense, so she didn't say anything. But she was with a man who was different here. There's something different about this man, Jesus. And the difference was he didn't condemn her, but he gave her instruction, "Go, sin no more. You know, let's put this behind you. Now you can go forward." Well, as I was praying about all of this, and the Lord started kind of shining the light on me, and I started going into several hours of repentance. Because I thought, "Lord, that could have been any one of us standing there in her place. That could have been any one of us, you know, because God, I know I haven't always been truthful. I know sometimes I've even just been pressured into lying. And I should have gotten the punishment for that. And God, I know I've hurt people. Hurt a lot of people, God. And I know that rock should be aimed right at me for that." And, you know, and he began to show me others. You know, that woman who was not right to her children. That woman who forsook her children. That woman who said, "I don't want them anymore." Well, and I was like, "Lord, but the people, you know, we deserve punishment." And I said, "But yet, I've felt no rocks." You know, and he starts showing me more and more people. That man who just takes that little look on the computer when nobody's around. That man who just, I'm not really doing anything bad. I'm just looking. That's another rock. What about those people who are taking our youth, God, and putting them in human trafficking and sex trafficking? Surely there's a rock for them. Surely there's a rock for them. But yet I've seen none go by. Well, God, what about those business people who cheat all the time? Who cheat all the time? There's no rocks being thrown at them. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Thankfully, though, we're not the judge. And these rocks are never to come into our hands. Never should these rocks come into our hands to judge others and to judge ourselves. Because there are times in the past that I have gone to God and I'm saying, God, I was disobedient to you today. I was disobedient. If I had just done what you told me to, they wouldn't have died. But yet I didn't feel any rocks coming, only in my heart. God, if I'd have just been obedient to you, if I'd have just made that phone call, or if I'd just gone by to see them, or if, God, when I saw them in Walmart, why did I not say what you were telling me to say? But yet, there's still been no rocks thrown at me. Do you know why Jesus didn't condemn the woman? It was that statement he made. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. If anybody had the right and fulfilled that statement, it was Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he was made sin for us. The one who knew no sin, he didn't even know sin. He was made sin for us. He took all the rocks. He took them so that we don't have to. And then he gave us a choice. He gave us a wonderful, wonderful choice. He gave us some good news, just like he gave that woman some good news. And the good news was, rocks are no longer relevant to the believer. No longer. If we're feeling like we're hit with rocks, that's not God. Because Jesus told the woman, I don't condemn you. There is no condemnation here. You're here. Your heart is pure before me. And if we repent of these things as we're walking through life and we make those decisions that are wrong, and I have made so many of them, he said, rocks are no longer relevant. What is relevant is the good news. And he left us with good news. The good news went to the grave for us. The good news was crucified for us. The good news was raised again for us. And thankfully, to modern technology, was put in a book for us so that we have it all right here. We have it all. Now, I can imagine that as that woman was leaving, because he told her to go, as she was leaving, can you just imagine the thoughts in her mind? Wow, I'm still alive. Wow, I'm living something's different inside of me. He did not condemn me. He gave me good news. I am not condemned anymore. I can live a full, complete life because of what one man did. A full, complete life. All it took was that one man, the man Jesus. He said, Have you ever been so far in sin that when you realized that God had forgiven you, you thought the whole world became multicolored rainbows? You know, you see stars and flowers and butterflies everywhere. Of course, that's the girl version. Okay, guys, y'all can see deer and bucks and all this other stuff. But God made a way so that we don't walk dodging rocks all the time. Jesus does not condemn us. Jesus blesses us with life and with love and with hope. And he has a plan and a future for our lives. His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much greater than our thoughts. That's why when I hear all of these wonderful reports about what is happening on this mountain, it helps me to go, shut up, devil. I don't care what mistake I made today. This is what God is doing, and God does not condemn me. I am his child. I am his child. And you know, that woman probably went back into town, and I bet you she was not ashamed to share what had just happened. Just like I'm not ashamed to share what Jesus has done for me. If we're ashamed to share what Jesus has done for us, we need a checkup from the neck up. You know what I mean? Let's get this thought life corrected by the Word of God. Jesus made a way. He made a way that was so much greater than anything we could have ever done. Have you ever tried to get yourself out of trouble? Oh my goodness, I was notorious for it as a child. I would do something wrong. I'd beat up my brother. I was the oldest, and I'd just beat him up just because he's gotten my way. We used to fight over the pickle jar. You know, after you empty the pickles out of a jar, and we like those sweet. Those too, bread and butter, but it's the whole mixture of pickles and cauliflower and all that stuff, and it's real sweet. And we would fight, there were four of us, we'd fight over who got the juice that was left in the jar. And I was so obnoxious, I really was, y'all, it was awful. And I would fight over that. No, it's my turn to have it. You know, when you have four kids, that's what you hear constantly. It's my turn, no, it's my turn, no, it's mine, you know. And it goes on and on. And one day, I just got so fed up that, I just let the devil run rampant in me. And I went, okay, you can have it. Let me go get it. And I fixed it up for him. Because, you know, there are all these spices in there. She can't tell what's in there. So I fixed it up for him. And when he got it, thinking he had won a battle finally with his obnoxious big sister, he turned that up and spit just as hard as he could to get it out of his mouth. And, of course, you know who got in trouble? I did, because I was the guilty one. And I'm like, but now it was this reason and this reason. And you know how children try to get their way out of trouble? Yeah, adults still do that, too. Adults are just big kids is all they are. Adults still try to get themselves out of trouble. You know, they still try to, well, now, God, I had reason for this, but, you know, and this, and I was pressured into it, and, you know, and this happened, that's not rocks. That's a bunch of baloney. God made a way. He didn't condemn us, and he still doesn't condemn us. Do we disappoint him when we goof? Yes. Yes. But we are quick to repent. We're quick to say, hey, I messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, forgive me according to your word. If I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. You know, most people just stop with you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And that's true. But there's more to it. He doesn't just want to say, okay, you're forgiven. No, he said, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness meaning, hey, let me work on what's causing you to keep doing that. Yeah, I got that one, Lord. I heard that loud and clear. But God has made a way. And it was in Jesus when he said, I don't condemn you. I love you. Jesus loves us so much. You know, in Romans 1:16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To him who believes, to him who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How many people, and I've seen this everywhere I go, when we start talking about there's revival coming to the mountain, revival coming to the mountain, and they go, yes, the power of God is moving, the power of God is, we want more power, we want more power, we want more power. And I go, are you sharing the gospel of Christ? Huh? Well, plainly the word says the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. We want more power of God. We got to get in the gospel of Christ. The gospel there means good news. And Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus, the anointed one. The good news about Jesus, the anointed one, is what brings the power of God unto salvation. And salvation has many meanings, of which we are going to talk about next week. So don't miss that, because you want to hear what God has to say about that. But the power of God. Wow. If I get in the Word, and I'm, you know, if you just read the red letters, that's what Jesus said. Jesus was the one who spoke. He didn't speak in red letter, but that's the way it got printed. He's the one there. You know, oh, wow, I just opened to this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's Jesus talking. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the good news. That's the good news. To the poor, that's good news. Hey, there's somebody who can tell me how to not be poor. To the brokenhearted, that's good news. It's all good news. It's the good news of Jesus that brings the power of God unto salvation. And I asked the Lord, because he said, to all who believe. Well, we believe. We believe. Do we believe the good news is the power of God unto salvation? That's the question. Well, I'm a believer. You know, you hear people say, I'm a believer. Are you a believer? Yes, I'm a believer. You a believer? Oh, yeah, all right, high five. But if we are not believing the whole good news, we're lacking in power. We got to believe that what Jesus said, the good news about Jesus, we got to believe it. And we got to know what it says to believe it. So I asked him, I said, Lord, I know about believers and believing, but why did you say to the Jew first and then to the Greek? Where am I at in there? Because I'm not Jewish or Greek. You know, I'm really Hinegarian to the core. And he said, he reminded me, he said, you remember the first time Jesus stooped down and started writing in the dirt? Yes, sir. He said, Let me tell you what some of his thoughts were at that time. I said, whoa, yes. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thinking he's going to share this great revelation to me and all this about me. Why do we always think it's about me? So he began to tell me the first time Jesus stooped down and started writing in the dirt, he was communing with me about how do we handle this situation. Because, you know, the word tells us Jesus only did what he saw his Father do, and he only said what the Father said. So Jesus, boy, that would be just a lifelong lesson if we could get that, wouldn't it? You know, I'm all for investing in duct tape industry because I need it constantly because I don't stop and listen to what God is saying most of the time. But he said, when Jesus stooped down, he was communing with me. And where it says to the Jew first, he said, Jesus, my son, was asking me, Father, these scribes and Pharisees, they're your Jewish people. They're the leaders in the Jewish community. Why are they not believing? And then there were, of course, other things that Jesus and the Father were communing about. And I was like, wow, I can see that, Lord. I can see that. Because, you know, the Israelites were looking for a Messiah, but they didn't think Jesus was the Messiah. You know, they had concerns about that issue. But then when he stooped down the second time, that communion with the Father was going on. And he said, Jesus, ask me, Father, I do want my people, the Israelites, the Jewish community, I want them to be believers in your kingdom. But Father, they're not the only ones here. There's a whole lot more people in the world outside of Israel. And it says to the Greek also. If you read in Galatians, Ephesians, you will find where the Greeks were grafted in to the living vine, who is Jesus. Because if we went by law, none of us would qualify to become part of his kingdom. So he made a way. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, so I showed him, this is how we pull in the rest of the world. Yes, we're going after our people, but we're going after the world. And a way was made for us to be grafted into the vine. Have you ever grafted two bushes, shrubs, trees together to create a certain kind of fruit? Hey, that ought to preach right there. That ought to preach right there. But God made a way for those who believe, for those who are willing to say, God, I'm done with rocks. I'm not having a part of that life anymore. I don't want to judge people. I don't want to be judged. And you know, if we would think about and learn what the word says about judging, you know, it says whatever measure you judge people by, that's what's going to come back to you. Boy, is that ever true? Because I have been on both ends of it. Been judged and I have judged. And it hurts. It really hurts. So let's get rid of the rocks. Let's get out of the rock mentality. And let's get into the mentality that Jesus spoke to this woman. Go, which means we're going forward, and sin no more. Stop the sin. I can't stop the sin. I'm human. Yeah, we all are. None of us can stop it until we get here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto my salvation. And that doesn't just mean getting saved one time. It's the power. If we don't know this word, this good news about Jesus, we are just hopelessly floating around in a river full of rocks instead of walking on water. God's calling us. God is calling us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that as we come before you, God, Lord, I want to lay down all the rocks in my life. I want to know you, Lord. I want to be that one that you tell, you don't condemn. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, these altars are always open. Always open. If you need to come get rid of some rocks, and I left the rocks out on purpose for everyone to see, because sometimes we have to have a visual. We have to see where we've been the one tossing the rock and we've been the one that's received the rock thrown. I think it's time we get out of the rock mentality and that we start living a life that is called by God. Because I promise you, without a doubt, things are happening on this mountain. This mountain is shaking. It is shaking, waiting on the sons of God, the believers, the chosen vessels that God has called into his kingdom. Those of us who just say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. He's the kingdom. Yes, Lord. This mountain is waiting on us to start stepping out, to stop the foolishness, to stop being timid. Brother Adam prayed it this morning. We are not timid. We are bold in the kingdom of God. We are bold in what God is telling us to do. If you need to come and pray, please come and pray. Let's walk out of here knowing that we have good news. Good news. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you, Father, for the good news of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough, God, that you moved heaven and earth just to draw us up close to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are so worthy, Lord. You are so worthy, Lord. So worthy. Thank you, Father. You know, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, right now's a good time to take care of that. Right now. I know it, there were times in my life that I walked away from God. And I know that happens to us. But right now is a good time to come running back to Him. It's a good time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need someone to pray with you, please just get up and come up here. And there will be people to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Start in the house of God. Let it start with us, Lord. Let it start.